But I want to say something to you about your calling a pastor. And again, I have told you I will help you, but I'm not calling a pastor, but I want to give you some advice as your present pastor about some things you need to observe when you call a pastor. Okay? First off, when you call a pastor, I have seen enough hardships and enough heartaches during my personal lifetime. And I'm going to make a recommendation to you right now that may sound callous, hard, mean, and everything else. But when you decide to call a pastor, I heartily recommend that you find out where that man pastored last. And you find out, would they call him back? Is he welcome there? Was the church in better shape when he left than when he went? If they don't want him back, do you want him? If the church was in worse shape than when he got there, do you want him? Now, folks, what I'm talking about is just plain downright practicality. He might be able to preach wonderful, but he's a tyrant. Or other problems. I'm saying, check his track record out. As far as I'm concerned, that's just good common sense. If the man has a good track record of being a good servant to the Lord's people, then feel free to call him. But if he shed blood everywhere he went, leave him alone. Leave him alone. The Lord can provide you a good pastor. I have no doubt in my mind about that. But do use some common sense when you go to call him a pastor. Okay? Secondly, when you start calling that pastor, you need to observe some scriptural patterns. Okay? Allow me to point those out. Number one, if that man has a family, his family should be in subjection with all gravity. The family should behave pleasing to God. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean he walks around with a hammer over their head. That says that they have enough respect for him and he has enough respect for God that they all live right and proper before God. Now, that's not just my opinion, by the way. The scripture says that he must have his own house in subjection with all gravity, for if he know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? And the answer is he can't. If he can't handle his own children, who are his own flesh and blood, how can he take care of the house of God? He most likely won't. Okay? And beyond that, it's very easy for us to perceive emotions, emotionalism, as being spiritual. Okay? Allow me to clarify what I'm talking about. I could tell you of sad tales that might play on your emotions and have you all stirred up emotionally and not have anything spiritual about it. Okay? It's important for us to recognize there's a difference between being spiritual and being emotional. Now, you can be both at the same time. But my point is, being emotional is not necessarily being spiritual. Now, that's true for the man in the pulpit. It's also true for you and the congregation. We have to recognize which is which. Now, in conjunction with that, I want to mention something that, quite frankly, has been a grave concern of mine. And I mention this with no individual direction, but as a general observance. Most of you were here on Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day, I very simply ask that each and every one of you feel free to stand up and express to the congregation what you have to be thankful for in the mother that you have. During the course of that dialogue that took place, I observed more tears of joy and satisfaction than I have in the 12 years that I've been here. Our mothers are very near and dear to all of us. Mine's been dead for over 14 years. I still miss her today. I'm indeed grateful for the things my mother did for me. But the things my mother did for me were little to be compared with what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. When He delivered me from an eternal, everlasting, burning lake of fire, which would have surely been my fate had the Lord not intervened. Now my point is, folks, we need to get things in the right and proper perspective. Now I'm not saying we shouldn't be emotional. We should not be attached to our mothers. No, no, no. I'm saying we should not become detached from the Lord Jesus Christ in recognizing what He's done for us. We should recognize that the preaching of the gospel ought to sometimes break our hearts. It ought to sometimes make us rejoice as if we were on the mountaintops. And we need to recognize the truth as it's set forth in God's book. Two other points concerning pastor. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors after mine, according to mine own heart. And this is God speaking to Israel. He said, this is the kind of a pastor you need, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, the man who only plays on your emotions, is he feeding you with knowledge? Is he feeding you with understanding? Now, folks, hear me carefully. A man can feed you with knowledge and with understanding, and it ought to stir your emotions to know about what God has done for you and what you ought to do in grateful gratitude to Him for what He's done. Okay? So, I want you to understand that. Last point. When you call a pastor, he will not be a copy of me. He won't do it the way Brother Ed did. Brother Ed did not come in here and do it the way Brother McCarty did. And Brother McCarty, when he came here, did not do it the way the Elder Moore, Elder Kidd, whoever the former pastor was before him. My point being, because the pastor doesn't do it the way the last one did, doesn't mean he's wrong. It could be done a dozen different ways, and it doesn't make any difference. Okay? My point is, we need to have enough sense to recognize that sometimes it doesn't make any difference how it's done, as long as it gets done. Okay? So what I'm saying is, when you get a new pastor, be patient with him. Be patient with him. And pray that he'll be patient with you. I said, be patient with him and pray that he will be patient with you. Okay? Please tuck all of what I have just said away. Now, it's been my observation that people are going to do what they want to do anyhow. But, and they say, advice not asked for is seldom heeded. Well, you didn't ask for that advice, but I do pray that you'll take heed to it. All the way down to the very last point, and that is, he's not going to be me. And you be patient with him, and you pray that he'll be patient with you. And you pray that above all, that God will take you all into his embrace and lead you in the path he would have you to go. Okay? If that happens, things will be well. But if you don't follow in the path that he has set for you to go, things will not be well. And all of us, from time to time, can bullheadedly want to have our own way, and it's not the Lord's way. We should all seek the Lord's way in everything.